Can you believe the words in this last message? Their implications, their direction, their calling for your life. What's ahead with this in view? Oh my, I am just so touched. And I hope that we all are. You know, the Lord intends that we would live integrally, comprehensively, all-inclusively with Him, according to our general subject. And we've been going on in a sequence in which gradually the panorama, the vista enlarges. And I don't know, I just felt like, how do we go on from here? This is tremendous. This is beyond words. But we do have three more messages. 6, 7, 8. Three more doses, three more injections to bring us into the experience of the things that we've heard. Of course, we're also receiving not just practical helps, we're also receiving an enlargement of the vision, of the revelation, of what we objectively realize is to be the case. So, could you imagine, did you imagine, or can you imagine that a task, a life task ahead for you in your Christian life and in your human life is that you would advance the frontier and penetrate and push back the frontier of Colossians 2:17. You could be a person who has the experience to mature as you go toward the end of your human life, that you have pressed on to have a living in which you do everything in word and deed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. My, tremendous. Tremendous. I believe that probably, I know, Brother Ron wrote this message, wrote this outline. And heading into the Training for Responsible Brothers, he asked some brothers to pray regarding this message that Craig has delivered. And he said, brothers, do you think, or how many of those brothers who will gather for the Training for Responsible Ones and Elders and Responsible Ones have had any consideration in their Christian life, have had any consideration about the practicality and entering into the practicality of Colossians 3:17? How many brothers of the leading ones have had any consideration regarding this? He said, brothers, please pray that the brothers who come to this training would be brought into a seeing of what's here. And praise the Lord for the Lord speaking to us. I believe we were brought into a seeing of what's here. Seeing of what's here. So we go on now in message 6. And we're still in Colossians chapter 3. And at the beginning here, I'd like to speak a little bit in a way that I hope will bring us into the practicality of what has been presented to us in the first session. Yes, we need to have the experiences of life to the degree that we can live Christ comprehensively and all-inclusively. And so in Colossians 3, we go on to three fairly familiar matters. Please notice in your outline the scripture reading, Colossians 3:15 and 16, and Colossians 4:2. And so in these verses, we have the constituents of our title. Here we have described allowing the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts. Letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, and persevering in prayer for the genuine church life. So in a sense, these are modifiers or ways for us to pursue this calling that we must identify that we have, that we would, in the principle of this training and its general subject, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, let me just ask if anyone noticed any particular thing related to the scripture reading. Anything catch your attention? What about the scripture reading? Anything notable there? Well, one thing that's notable is that our two first verses, Colossians 3, 15 and 16, and then we have 4, 2, come before Colossians 3, 17. So wouldn't it be logical that in scriptural sequence that we would have this message on Colossians 3, 15 and 16, and then we would have the second message on Colossians 3, 17? Well, the order is reversed. Now, I think you've learned that in the Bible and in the ministry, when things don't proceed according to the expected sequence, you need to wake up. Because there, contained therein, is a revelation. There is a revelation. So I would suggest to you that there's purpose, there's revelation involved in the fact that we did Colossians 3:17 first, doing all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the highest name. And now we have letting the peace of Christ dwell, letting the word of Christ inhabit, and persevering in prayer. Have you, as experienced serving ones in Australia and New Zealand, ever considered Colossians 3, 15, 16, and 4, 2? Of course you have. Of course you have. This is a major subject. This is a major subject. And have you not endeavored to let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts? Arbitrate? Have you not done your best to let the word of Christ dwell in you? Have you not done your best to pray more? To persevere in prayer? Well, did this take you, your endeavor that is, did this take you all the way in to a comprehensive living where everything you did was in the name of the Lord Jesus? Well, probably not. If you had, this probably wouldn't be a training. This probably would be a praise meeting, or we probably already would have been raptured. We've been dutiful, have we not? Have we not treasured the oneness and tried to keep the oneness and let the peace of Christ dwell and arbitrate to work out problems that arise among us? Have we not, and do we not, love the word and love the ministry of the age and give ourselves to get into it and let it dwell in us? And don't we realize in our team coordinations and our service how crucial prayer is, and that we need to do everything in prayer and persevere in prayer? Yeah. We do. But our endeavor in these things benefited us. But maybe, to use a word that was mentioned before, maybe it plateaued. Maybe the benefit of our endeavor in these things plateaued. But now we can see that just as message by message we've had an incredible, profound, sequential definition of what it is to live in our general subject of knowing, experiencing, and living in the all-inclusive Christ for the genuine church life. But we can realize that now, with what we saw in the last message, these three matters become new. They become new. And so I'd like to try to point out how these three matters, viewed from the vista of Colossians 3:17, doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have a new effectiveness, have a new application, have a new promise of revolutionizing our service and our situation. Okay, so to do this, I'd like to put these verses, Colossians 3, 15 and 16, in addition to their relationship to Colossians 3, 17, in the context of the book of Colossians, and I guess as I already have in the context of the sequence of these messages. Okay, now, Colossians is a book, chapter 3 here, Colossians is a book that contains the highest revelation of Christ in the Bible. In Colossians chapters 1 and 2, preceding chapter 3 where we are, we have an amazing series of sequential points of truth that show us that Christ is to be everything to us. Colossians being a book that reveals, having the highest revelation of Christ as the head, and reveals the all-inclusive Christ, the all-extensive Christ. So he, as you know, to review, is to be our portion as our good land, our territory in which we live. Colossians 1:12. From there, we realize that he is the head of the body. He's the one who has all, he has preeminence in all things. He has preeminence in all things. He's the one through whom all things were created. And in that creation which was through him, he was the first item. And then after he created that material creation, he held it together. All things cohere in him. And then all things that were created were for him. And unto him. With him as the goal. And he not only had this relationship to material creation, but in the new creation, he's the firstborn from among the dead. The head of the new creation. He's the one in whom all the fullness was pleased to dwell. We saw that in the last message. All the fullness is pleased to dwell. He's the one who's the very mystery of God. The definition of God. And he's the one who is the reality of every positive thing in the universe. And he is the indwelling hope of glory. Back to chapter 1, verse 27. I purposely saved that one for last because his being the initiator, the reality, and the goal of both the old creation and the new, and in the new creation, every positive thing, and in the material creation, the shadow of every positive thing implies that he should be ever present with us in our consciousness.
Amen.
In our consciousness. Now, how does this relate to Colossians 3:17? Well, I even had some questions this morning asked of me. Who here isn't busy in their serving life? In their professional life? In their family life? In their parenting life? Who isn't busy? And who doesn't get involved in those things and have their addressing of the imminent issues before them the thing of which they are conscious? And so here's the problem. We go about and do everything in the consciousness of what we need to do, in the consciousness of our context where we are. And unfortunately, as Brother Craig shared with us, sometimes in the consciousness of our own self, what we need, what we want to see happen. And so we have what I would call the dilemma, the problem of lack of consciousness. In our business, we lose track. Have you not had that experience? You come home at the end of the day, busy day, sit down, take a deep breath. Oh Lord. And you realize that, oh Lord, connected with the oh Lord you said when you opened your eyes. And somehow that oh Lord, which was crucial when you opened your eyes, did not sustain continuity through the day, and you lost track of him. And now, at a certain point, as if you were a mammal in the ocean coming up for air, you say, oh Lord! But meanwhile, what happened to all the intervening things? Can you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, of course you can. This is not only an inquiry of the Apostle Paul saying, do you think we can do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is in what we call the imperative mood in language. The imperative mood means that you have to do it. It can be done and you have to do it. So this is an imperative to us, Colossians 3:17. How are we going to do it? Well, you may say, well, how does this relate to letting the peace of Christ dwell and letting the word of Christ dwell and persevering in prayer? In the sequence of the arrangement of these messages, I believe the power and the influence, the force here is saying, we have to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, spontaneously almost, we will let the peace of Christ dwell. The word of Christ will dwell in us, and we will be able to persevere in prayer. We have to give attention to this. Amen. And so we have this dilemma. What about our bearings? What about our... So Colossians, especially chapters 1 and 2, presenting to us the highest and deepest revelation of Christ in the entire Bible, and especially presenting to us that he is our good land. He is our parcel, our portion of the good land in which we can, Colossians 2:6, walk. It's when we are so impressed with this marvelous person who has been entrusted to us, given to us, and Colossians 1:27 is indwelling us, that we can, duly impressed as we are, we can retain bearings related to him, retain a sense regarding him, retain consciousness of him with us in the midst of our busy daily affairs. Then, and only then, can we have Colossians 3:17, and only then can we live the all-inclusive Christ for the genuine church life. So, we have to treasure these aspects of his person as revealed here in Colossians as the context of Colossians 3:15 and 16. But we have to realize that we have to identify with his desire that we maintain our touch with him. We maintain our bearings related to him. So, do you know this term, secret admirer? Secret admirer. A secret admirer might be one who just is impressed with a virtuous or accomplished person. So they admire that person. But is that what we talk about, what we mean when we say secret admirer? No. Most of us fell in love with someone, and that person we fell in love with didn't even know we existed. We liked that person. They were very impressive to us, and we admired them, and we maybe brought them to the Lord in prayer, you know, talking about a particular stage in life, of course. You're single, and you're wondering about, and someone, and you're impressed with someone. And I know some of you had this experience. And you're trying not to be obvious in your the tracking of your eyes as you're watching this person. And, you know, this person, you admire them, but they don't even notice you. And so you end up waiting, wondering, praying, are they ever going to notice me? They mean so much to me, I mean nothing to them. They don't even know I exist. Now, some of you had that experience. Comfortable? You like that? Waiting a week? A month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, to see if someone notices you? Meanwhile, you're admiring them? You're hoping a consciousness of you will break into their awareness. Okay. The omnipotent God, the God of the universe, the God of economy, not only creation, but the God of economy. Colossians 1:27, having revealed himself to us in bountiful ways, to where we should be impressed and enthralled with this person, now indwells us. Indwells us. And he's there as if he were the omnipotent God, your secret admirer. Always thinking about you, always with his eyes upon you, always watching you, and having the registration, she doesn't know I exist. Or he doesn't know. When will he or she be conscious of me? Well, do we want the Lord to suffer that way with us? The omnipotent God, who as the creator of the universe, created the universe as our husband, awaits silently, unobtrusively, with no complaint, waiting just to see, will he or she in her daily routine ever notice me other than a token, an initial touch to start the day, and then off they go. Colossians 3:17 requires that he mean enough to us. He means so much to us that when we awake, we realize he is there waiting to engage, to enjoy, to be mutually involved, not only intimately, not only affectionately, not only personally, but romantically. This realization changes the profile and sense and sensation of Colossians 3:17. To do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is to realize there's a request, a yearning, a calling. Please don't leave me as a secret admirer for another year. Please. Well, I hope this is relevant to you. I would say that until we realize that the one who indwells us is hungry, is yearning, is waiting for us, Colossians 3:17 will remain a point of revelation and objective truth to us that we wonder about and discuss and fellowship and maybe pray, but we won't experience it yet. So we'll see in the outline, which we'll get to soon here, that we've got to love him. Amen. We've got to love him. That love for him needs to be a wall, an oceanic wall of constraining, causing us to be undeterred in our contact with him in the midst of involvements. Ashwin, as you're doing your computer programming, you need to be romantically involved with him. And to do that, you need to be conscious of him. Conscious of who he is, conscious of what he wants, conscious that he is indwelling you as the one who is all those things that are revealed in Colossians chapters 1 and 2. If you realize that, then chapter 3, this chapter that we're on, says, then. If what he is, what he's done, that he's waiting for you, matters to you, then set your mind on the things which are above. Contact him. As you know, to set your mind on the things which are above does refer to his heavenly status, but also refers to his indwelling waiting for us in 127, Colossians 127. So, saints, our imperative isn't just let the word of Christ, let the peace of Christ dwell, let the word of Christ dwell. Not even just do all things, but it's that we have to take this person and make him all precious to us. All precious to the point that he is the definition of our present, our future, our now. And when in our now there's something that we need to do, in our now there's a deadline, in our now there's an obligation, in our now there's a screaming child, those instances don't displace our consciousness of him as the one who wants us to be involved with him. So, you know, when we call his name, this is tantamount. This is equivalent. This is like having consciousness of him. Amen. When do you call on him? When you realize, oh, I'm not doing so well. I need help. I need the one who's rich to all who call. So you have consciousness that you need him. So you call.
Amen.
So you call. What is calling? Calling is our consciousness related impetus to say, Lord. And then when that consciousness related impetus brings us in touch with Him, oh, we're happy, we're satisfied, we're fulfilled, and that contact with Him gives Him a way to leave His imprisoned state in our spirit where He's waiting for us to enter into our heart. Then He enters. And then every guest, every other unwanted guest can then depart. He enters then as the one who is peace. The peace of Christ is what? The peace of Christ is not a separate thing. The peace of Christ is Christ as peace. The word of Christ is not something separate from Him. It's Christ as the word.
Amen.
Now He's there and we have let Him. We've let Him enter. So then once He enters, what kind of irritation can stand? None. What kind of wrong thought cannot be dissipated? None. And then we sense, I've made progress. I've made progress in my touch, in my hold with Him. And as I do that, and we join one another, we become one entity, one person. And when we pray, we can persevere in prayer because we're one with the one who prays unceasingly, and we can pray unceasingly. Well, so we'll get to the outline now. Consider your day. Consider yesterday. How much of the time were you conscious of Him waiting within you as a secret admirer, wondering if you're going to notice Him? How much of the time was He waiting, and how much of the time did you touch His person through His name and join with Him? What's before us, saints, as we apply the general subject of this training, is that we take this very, very seriously. And we don't allow a day of stagnation, much less a day of regression. We say, today, Lord, I love You. Today, I'm going to have my contact with You and Your presence with me penetrate into my working life, penetrate into my homeschooling, my dishwashing, my mechanical work, whatever it is. And we keep track. Oh Lord, forgive me. I didn't get to sustain You, hold You in my consciousness, which is to be in His name, which is equivalent to being in His name. For us to live together all inclusively, I didn't progress today. Lord, forgive me. Or, having come forth from this training, thank You, Lord. Today was a landmark. Today was different. I was able to do my math problems, do my calculus problems with You, present with me in my consciousness. Now you say, no one can do that. How can you apply mathematical formulae and be loving the Lord Jesus in your contact with Him and calling on Him at the same time? Well, you can't. And the human makeup under the fall can't. But there's one exception. When you love Him, when you're sensing his presence with you in a state of consciousness that you have brought in. Lord, I don't want to have a Christless moment. I don't want to have this time, this juncture, without a sensation, without the refreshment of you being with me. Then, as a result, that begins to turn, let's just say, this sensation began at a time you weren't so touching him, you weren't so with him in your consciousness. Now you realize, I'm living an inert, insipid human existence here. I'm like a prodigal eating straw. I'm not okay with that. Lord Jesus, from that moment, you begin to have a termination of your natural capacities, and you begin, in the split second that it takes for him to be joined to you, to join with his capacities, and now you have the new covenant capacities in which you are more than able to be the best calculus student and have your calculus problems be filled with a new registration of how lovely he is. So these books are in Colossians. These verses are in Colossians. Colossians is a book on the highest revelation of Christ for our esteem, for our assignment of preciousness to him, for our being captivated by him, so that, thus captivated, our thoughts could all be related to him. He would enter into all of our practical thoughts, all of our restful thoughts, every thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 would be captured by him. And this kind of sensation related to him are what I would call mounting, cultivated, built up, burgeoning. Do you know the word burgeoning? Gushing up. Appreciation of him enables him to be conscious, for us to be conscious of him as we do our daily things. And back to Colossians 2:6, as you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, so also walk in him. In him. So, as Brother Craig pointed out, Colossians 3:17, doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is very akin and related to a crucial verse that establishes a New Testament principle. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. Meaning that when in our love for him and our consciousness for him, we contact him in our calling, we touch him in our spirit, we enter into him. Notice the locative pronoun in. We're in him. We're in him. Actualizing and making real what happened when we believed into him and were baptized into him. Now we're in him. Guess what happens when you're in him? When you're in him, when you look around, what do you see? What do you see? You see him. You see him merged as the uplifting reality in everything in your daily living. You see him brought in. And everything has a new meaning, a new cast to it, a new sheen, a new shine, a new atmosphere, a new sense. And wherever you go and whatever you do, you realize, I'm in him. And just like we're in this wonderful auditorium or room, we look around and we see the auditorium. And everything we look around relates to the auditorium and reminds us of the auditorium. And we are, no one has to remind us, we are in the auditorium. When in our love for Him and our unwillingness to leave Him as a secret admirer in our spirit, we contact Him, we enter into Him, and now we're in Him as a land, as a territory, as, yes, a realm. The name, which is the person, signifies, in the footnotes there, signifies a realm, a sphere in which we're in His person, in which we have entered through our regeneration and baptism, and now we can, by our appreciation of Him, which keeps us and holds us with Him in our mingled spirit, have an abiding consciousness of Him because we realize, oh my goodness, I'm in Him. I'm in this wonderful spirit, pneumatic person territory. I'm in Him. And as we savor this experience, treasure this experience, it becomes so special, so contrasting to our otherwise grim and unhappy daily routine, that we become unwilling to live otherwise anymore. And our heart turned continues to say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And our calling becomes not something that we do at a point in time, but becomes a condition. We're in a calling condition in which, as we're in Him, we're conscious of Him. And we bring Him with us and enjoy Him with us and bring in the particulars of our daily living and bring those particulars into Him, giving them new validity, new quality, and new eternality. So, why did I spend all this time when we're talking about Colossians 3, 15 and 16? Because I think as long as you try to let the peace of Christ dwell in you, and as long as you try to let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, and as long as you try to be a persevering prayer person, you'll make some progress. But it won't be so sweet. It won't be in a realm. It won't be in a sphere of a wonderful person. And it can only go so far. But when we, in our love for Him, hold Him in our consciousness and appreciate Him to the degree that He's in our heart and nothing can displace Him, every other guest has to depart, we can keep Him with us in all things that we do. And guess what? No more frictions. No more complaints. No more offenses. No more unforgiven offenses. And the Word is circulating. The Word is within us. The Word is metabolically operating in us. The Word is causing us, as a person that the Word is causing us to be joined to Him and to be a person of that Word, to the point that when we speak, what we speak is the Word. We can say, "Hi, John." And that's the Word of God. Because He is dwelling in our hearts. And we can not by resolution, not by endeavor, we can live and find ourselves installed in an atmosphere of prayer. And we can do all things in that atmosphere of prayer, persevering in prayer. Notice that both Colossians 4:2 and Colossians 3:17 say, giving thanks. We're in this realm, we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're here with me in this circumstance. Thank you, Lord. I'm here in an atmosphere of prayer with you. Thank you, Lord. Wow. So, it's not a small thing to be in this room. Not a small thing to be receiving these messages. Not a, it's a destiny we have. And the sequence of these messages shows that we are going to live in the all-inclusive Christ and fulfill Colossians 3:17.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go to Roman number 1. And the outline is extensive, and I may not get to read all the points with us, but I hope that with this background, it would be helpful. One says, we need to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts. Okay, now in this section, it talks, we will see that it talks about sometimes in the church life, there's a complaint that arises. In your church life, has there ever been a complaint that has arisen? Have you ever had a complaint? Has anyone you know ever had a complaint? Well, so it says, well, simple. Be compassionate. Be, I took the verse off. Be compassionate. Be forbearing. Be bearing one another. Be long-suffering. So we're all clear about this, right? So did that take care of the complaints? No. What's required is that we treasure Him to the uttermost. Contact Him, then He, as the peace, is able to enter into the hearts of the complainer and the complainee. And now, the problem's resolved. So how is it that you let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts? By trying to be magnanimous? Forgiving? Warm? Caring? When you call upon Him and join to Him in your living, you put on His inward parts. Then He has no complaint toward the object of your complaining. He's not irritated by the object of your irritation. And something happens and you become a different person. So I think you see my point, huh? This is a matter of our treasuring Him to the uttermost, keeping Him in our consciousness, which is equivalent to our being in touch with Him and in Him, in which these problems are resolved by His entering into our heart as the peace of Christ. So A says, the Greek term for arbitrate can be rendered umpire, preside, or be enthroned as a ruler and decider of everything. The arbitrating peace of Christ dissolves our complaint against anyone. The question is, how does that arbitrating peace of Christ get there? It gets there through our treasuring Him to the uttermost and not leaving Him without our amorous contact, without our affectionate contact. B, often we are conscious of three parties within us, a positive party, reflecting our good God-created human nature, a negative party, reflecting ourself under the fall, and a neutral party. Well, the positive party, of course, is the influence of the Lord Himself, and the neutral party is our God-created part. Hence, there's the need of the inward arbitration to settle the dispute within us. Subpoint one says, Whenever we sense the different parties within our being are arguing or quarreling, we need to give place to the presiding peace of Christ and allow this peace, which is the oneness of the new man, to rule within us and have the final word. Wonderful. So he's got, he, the King of Peace, has to enter our hearts. He does this by invitation. When we want him.
Amen.
When we want him. C says, if we allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts, the peace will settle all the disputes among us. We will have peace with God vertically and with the saints horizontally. Okay, so we have numerous subpoints here. Through the arbitration of the peace of Christ, our problems are solved, and the friction between the saints disappears. Then the church life is preserved in oneness, and the new man is manifested in a practical way. How will this happen? The sequence of these messages suggests that this happens when, and probably only when, we're able to pursue in practicality the general subject of this training and the message you just heard on Colossians 3:17. We pursue these, and this releases him into our hearts, and he solves every dispute. Two, the arbitrating of the peace of Christ is Christ himself working within us to exercise his rule over us, to speak the last word, and to make the final decision. So Isaiah here, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, talk about him being the Prince of Peace, and having the government on his shoulders, and that peace, his peace of his government will not end, and that this is to be worked out through the zeal of Jehovah. So the zeal of Jehovah is involved here. He's there in your spirit wanting to engage you and wanting to be your remedy to every kind of problem. That's his zeal. So we just have to respond. And our consciousness of him is our carriage of him into all the aspects of our daily living so that he can be there with us to solve every problem. Three, if we stay under the ruling of the enthroned peace of Christ, we will not offend others or damage them. Rather, by the Lord's grace and with his peace, we will minister life to others. So as Brother Craig has said, as we take care of these matters, of our contact with him, our affectionate touch with him, our holding him in esteemed consciousness, in the esteemed consciousness of burgeoning appreciation. He's there, and everything else is resolved spontaneously. For this peace should bind all the believers together and become the uniting bond. Okay, so Roman numeral 2. We need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Okay, so we all want to do this, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing in your hearts to the Lord. Now, do you know when your heart sings? Well, I guess your heart can sing at any time. But your heart sings to the Lord, and your heart really can only sing when your heart has turned to him. And the veils are taken away. And you're face to face, and you're appreciating him, and a song just comes up. And this is to happen not just as a formality in the first item in a meeting. This is to happen and be a key in the heterogeneously throughout the expanse of our daily living. We should be singing to him because we treasure him so much. A, we need to allow the word of the Lord to have the first place in us and to inhabit us so that we may experience the functions of the word operating within us and ministering the riches of Christ into our being. So the word has certain functions. The word is the person. The word is Christ. Because he has these functions in himself, But does he have them in you? He has them in you when he, as the word, enters into your heart. And he enters into your heart when you invite him. Say, Lord, I invite you into my heart. I invite you into this circumstance. I invite you into this now in my daily living unfolding. And as we do this, then the word, he as the word enters into us and he speaks to us. And the word begins to function, to shine, to enlighten, to supply, to... So we have these functions. The word of God enlightens us, nourishes us, and waters us to quench our thirst. The word of God strengthens us, washes us, builds us up. The word of God completes, perfects, sanctifies us to bring us into oneness with the triune God. Wonderful. Don't you just love presentations of the functions of the word? But there's often the misunderstanding that the word just does this because you read it. No, it does not do it just because you read it. It does not do it intrinsically. Well, it is these things intrinsically, but to have these functions, it has to get into your heart, which is different from your spirit, where the word of Christ dwells continuously and is speaking continuously. But when your heart turns, your conscience is satisfied and happy. Wow, praise the Lord, your conscience says. And now there's a free viaduct through your conscience from your spirit into your heart, and the word enters your heart, dwells there richly, and begins to function, to enlighten, to nourish, to refresh, to satisfy, to make you one with the triune God in his name in that instance. This isn't just when you're having your morning time. Is it just when you're doing your daily reading in the Bible? Of course it's then. It should be then because you come to him as the person, as you touch his word. But this is to happen uninterruptedly. He wants to circulate in your inner being, in your heart, uninterruptedly. When you have him in your consciousness, this consciousness merges and melds you with him, holds your heart in the proper position, he's able to enter into your heart and have these functions as you're changing the diapers. So let's go on to B. Colossians 3:16 speaks of letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. So I mentioned a little bit about this. This is something that we really, saints, this is an untapped territory. And I'm the most primitive one in singing and the most primitive one in anything musical. But I am very motivated to, regardless of how it sounds, to sing in my heart to God all day long, because this is the way that we can do all things in the name of our Lord Jesus. We're expressing something to him. This expression of singing to him moves us toward him, positions us in him, and allows us to fix and get used to fixing our being in conjunction with him, making us one person, and then we can live together through our entire day and fulfill Colossians 3:17. And Colossians 3:17 then has a bidirectional relationship with Colossians 3:16. As we experience Colossians 3:17, spontaneously we have Colossians 3:16. As we experience Colossians 3:16, this helps us to experience Colossians 3:17. But the key is that we have to realize, oh, we have to sustain our consciousness of him, our touch with him in everything. Thus we need the revelation in the ministry of the age, and specifically in the book of Colossians, that presents us with the precious one, the all-precious one. Amen. Well, maybe, saints, could I please go to C now and leave the subpoints related to singing and psalming in our hearts to the Lord to you, and just commend this to you as a wonderful area for you to develop. More singing, more psalming in our hearts to the Lord in our daily living. C says, daily, we need to practice coming to Christ as the living word in God's written word so that he may speak to us personally as the applied word of the Spirit, for him to be infused into us according to the following principles. So, as we pursue Colossians 3:17, we release Colossians 3:16, and then the word is able to enter into our hearts, and the written word becomes the living word to whom we've come, and he speaks to us. And he speaks to us secrets. Oh, I don't think it's just me, but doesn't, like the psalmists, doesn't the Lord speak to you at dawn? Doesn't he wake you and doesn't, I think he speaks to you at dawn, doesn't he? Don't you hear words as you're there in the quiet, just conversing with the Lord? Don't you hear words that you know didn't come from you? And you realize, oh Lord, thank you. Have you realized that when this happens, you need to write that down? Because what he's written to you is personal. It's specific, it's special. And if you don't try to grasp it, hold it, you'll find it'll be like a vapor and it'll be gone. And you'll just treasure that dawn time because you know the Lord meets you there. But how about accumulating these words that he speaks to you personally as the living word? I just encourage you to write those down. Subpoints. So these are the principles. We must now notice that these principles line up with our pursuit of Colossians 3:17 and derivatively Colossians 3:16. It says, we must open our being to the Lord for the inner shining of the divine light. How do you open your being to the Lord? You call on him. You touch him. You maintain your consciousness of him. This is to open our being to the Lord for his inner shining and for the divine light and the supplying of the divine life. The one who experiences the greatest amount of transformation is the one who is absolutely open to the Lord. Synonym, the one who is captivated by him. The one who is being open here isn't just, oh, I'm open. Speak to me, Lord, I'm open. No. To be open to the Lord is to be captivated by him. Lord! Lord, I love you. Lord, thank you for speaking to me. Speak to me more. What else, Lord? Then, he not only speaks to us, but that word operates in us and carries out a transforming work in us. So 2 says, we must seek the Lord with all our heart. Psalm 119:2, seek the Lord with all your heart. The Old Testament typology of the psalmist who sought the Lord with all their heart needs a fulfillment. And when it has that fulfillment in the Lord's recovery, there will be a cadre, a complement, a cohort of people who pursue Colossians 3:17 and who bring him in everything they do. Everything. They seek him with all their heart. Not just in that crucial initial time that Craig brought to us, the morning time, which is so crucial, but from there, having continuation and keeping track of how effectively that continuation goes forth and developing and cultivating it until it becomes something that enlarges and enlarges until it fulfills Colossians 3:17. 3 says, we must deal with anything that separates us from the Lord. So this involves everything in our daily living. Those instances in our daily living have the potential to separate us from the Lord. If we engage them without Colossians 3:17 in view, they did separate us from the Lord. No! We don't allow anything to separate us from the Lord. So what do? In the midst of that thing, we sustain our consciousness of him, touch him, and that thing now is something that we're in and doing together. It's something brought into his pneumatic person, brought into the realm that he is, and now, it's not something that separates us from him, it's something that fortifies us in him, reinforces us in him, and is part of our development of Colossians 3:17. 3 says, we must deal with anything that separates from the Lord. 4, we must humble ourselves before him, setting aside our self-confidence and self-assurance and looking unto him for mercy and grace, no longer allowing him to be our secret admirer, amen, waiting for us to pay attention to him. There are two competing levels of consciousness. You are conscious of one of two spheres. You are conscious of yourself, or you're conscious of the Lord. In your daily living, you're conscious of yourself and how you're navigating, or you're conscious of the Lord. Colossians 3:17 is your invitation and your cry to be delivered from yourself and self-consciousness into a consciousness of him. Oh, what a lovely territory for us to pursue. Whoops. 5, we must exercise our spirit and pray with God's word and exercise our whole being to sing, psalm, and muse upon his word. Then D says, by allowing the word of God to inhabit us, we become a man of God, filled with the breath of God, so that we can be fully equipped with God's word as the divine antidote against the decline of the church and bring the church into the parousia. Bring about the genuine church life. Okay, now, Roman numeral 3 says we also need to persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. And just mention real briefly here some of these very crucial utterances. We need to allow adequate time for prayer, which will enable us to absorb more of the riches of Christ as our all-inclusive land. Oh, I wish we could talk about that some more. But 1, we need to take time to absorb the Lord, contacting him in a definite and prevailing way until our practice of this enlarges to include our daily living fully. Do you believe we can do this? Amen. Sure we can. This word is spoken to us with the full expectation of his that we can and will respond to him and do this. 2, to meet with the Lord in the morning is not only to meet with him early in the day, it is also to meet with the Lord in a situation that is full of light. We should go to God alone, without any perception, with any persons, matters, or things to distract us and occupy us. We just appreciate and care for him. Then once we're with him, then we go forth to live together and fulfill Colossians 3:17 together. 3, when we pray, coming forward to the throne of grace, grace will become a river flowing in us and supplying us. We release that river. We don't have to wait for it. We release that river with our turned heart. Let's see. I'll leave the subpoints. I'll just read B, C, and D. In order to fight on God's side against Satan, we need to persevere in prayer. C. But do read the subpoints. They're amazing. C. We need to set aside definite times to prayer. For prayer, our attitude should be that prayer is our most important business and that nothing should be allowed to interfere with it. D, we need to remain in an atmosphere of prayer by continually exercising our spirit. So these three are imperatives. That means that the apostle spoke them in a way that you have to do this. You have to do this. You can take those imperatives and try to work them out in your natural being, or you can, in the principle of Colossians 3:17, simply just learn to sustain a consciousness of him that allows him to move, to churn, to work in your being, to commune with you and to live together with you. And these imperatives are carried out spontaneously. Spontaneously, the peace of Christ operates in us. Spontaneously, the word of Christ dwells in us richly. And spontaneously, we persevere in prayer. So finally, Roman numeral 4, as we are ruled by the peace of Christ and inhabited by the word of Christ through persevering in prayer, he permeates and saturates us with himself until all our natural distinctions have been eliminated for us to have the genuine church life. So just consider the sequence, saints. We were rescued from every distracting thing to enjoy the mingling of God and man as the meal offering, to take him as our person, to live him in most abject and difficult circumstances, to magnify him and have ourselves dealt with, to be able to do everything in his name, and now to be able to have the peace of Christ, the word of Christ dwell in us and have us be able to persevere in prayer. This is wonderfully rich. So remember, you can do this. Amen. Let's pray with our neighbor for a moment.